And if you watch that programme, Don't Tell the Bride, I know there are several versions available in England and Ireland. It seems designed effectively to show off the bridezilla myth or perhaps phenomenon. But what is it? And are brides really as crazy as we perceive them to be? I'm joined on the line now by Sarah Kennedy of Irish Wedding Blog. You're welcome to the programme.
Hi, Ciara. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We're talking about this today, Sarah, on foot of one of the editions of the programme, which was broadcast last night, which is fairly typical of it. And the general thesis of the programme is that the groom is given a certain amount of money to organise the wedding in the bride's absence. So they have to spend about 3 weeks apart. She shows up on the day and usually all hell breaks loose. So I think in the first instance, if you're a couple and taking part in Don't Tell the Bride, and there are a few notable exceptions where everything has gone wonderfully to plan, but you should generally expect not to have the wedding of your dreams. And it seems, Sarah, designed to show brides off as bridezillas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the format of the show is really, as you said, nail on the head. It's to provide entertainment at the bride's expense. I've had people ask me before, should I go on a show like that? And I'd always say, well, if you're willing to absolutely give up control, which is number one, and if you're happy and you really don't really care, you're just happy to turn up on the day, go for it. But if you have that idea in your head and you think just by communicating that to your partner that it's going to actually happen and they're going to take that lead, that's not going to happen. It never works that way. That bride in particular last night, she should never have been on Don't Tell the Bride. It's just not cut for her personality. It was never going to be the right mix for her. But like in saying that, you know, with Don't Tell the Bride, you're always going to get the extreme of that sort of personality type. They love that sort of girl and thrive on it, you know. And, you know, it does tar everyone with the same brush. And what I would say is that there's a lot of people that do remain sane through the wedding planning process. So just to give them kudos as well. I suppose if you look in the Oxford Dictionary of what is a bridezilla, they define it as a woman whose behaviour in planning the details of her wedding is regarded as obsessive or intolerably demanding. And I think what we saw last night was that higher scale of intolerably demanding.
Also,
you know,
profound disappointment, because to be honest, I think Zoe had been clear with her then fiance Michael that what she would like is an indoor vintage themed vintage wedding with a feminine theme. What she actually got was a Roman themed wedding with a Roman style chariot, because he likes history. What I'm seeing there really is two people who don't communicate well at all. Two people who want fundamentally divergent things from their wedding and perhaps from their lives, and to people who it could be perceived to be are quite willing to be utterly selfish.
Yes, and I think what we saw with the groom, I'd say reading between the lines, he probably doesn't get a lot of time to make his own decisions, I'd say, in that relationship.
So he ran
and
with it.
I think he did. I think he, like, nobody knows, you don't know your other half better than you. And I know myself that if my husband was given a task like that, he'd always be mindful of the fact that, you know, ultimately, will she be okay with this? He might push boundaries a little bit, but he'd never go off on a wild tangent like your man did last night. He clearly, I think, was just trying to flex a bit of authority where he could. I think he thought he could get away with it, but like, she'll never forgive him for that.
and in fairness, had the reverse been true, had she planned a wedding or any bride planned a wedding that was so fundamentally contrary to the expressed views of the groom, they would be right in reacting that way as well. This isn't pitting man against woman. This is people who are not communicating with one another and behaving in quite a self-centred way on a day that's supposed to be about two people. Now, I know an awful lot of men listening will say, hey, look, the wedding is about the bride, but it's not really.
No, well, I remember back in my wedding coordination days, sometimes, you know, when you first meet a couple, they're, you know, very, very easygoing, you know, very lighthearted, very unassuming about how their wedding is going to go. And as you get closer to the day, you start to see, you know, the anxiety, and that comes out as a sort of, I suppose, bridezilla behaviour. But this isn't exclusive to brides. Grooms can be very, very groomzilla, should I say. They're, you know, it's highly there. Like some of my hardest work has been, you know, trying to, you know, I suppose, not necessarily reason with, but kind of work with grooms to bring them around to their way of thinking, because it's not really their world as well, whereas girls, I think, are a little bit more accustomed to it. So I think girls get a hard time.
I think so, but there's a reason that there's a stereotype and a cliche, and that's because it's to a greater or lesser degree true. And I know it seems to be sisters who get the brunt of this. Sisters are bridesmaids of brides who perhaps can't handle the stress and lose all sense of proportion. I've been at weddings, Sarah. I imagine you have. I imagine most of the people listening have either been in a wedding party or been at a wedding where the brides are overly stressed because they've been told to change their hair colour, because they've been told to pay for this, that or the other, or they just can't cope with the obsessive compulsiveness of it.
Absolutely. And I think one of the key things, I remember my dad always has the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And I think that is core when it comes to your bridal party. And I've been bridesmaid for, you know, over the years, and I've also been a bride. And I know that, you know, like my mum would have told me, she goes, God, do you have anything else to talk about other than your wedding? So in that stage, yeah, you're obsessing. That's all you have to talk about. But then I've also been in a situation where I've been bridesmaid for, you know, over the years, and you're being asked, you know, to really go above and beyond. And you have to be, nobody wants to upset the bride. The worst thing you can do is upset the bride so that they end up having a terrible wedding experience.
Yeah,
so
but
you're
to
like,
be honest,
you're internalizing it.
Sarah, like, everybody is feeding into this. I mean, most of the bride's illness happens in the run up to the wedding, and indeed the groom's illness. So if somebody is quote unquote upset 3 weeks before their wedding, because you are not going to shave your head to suit whatever they want in their pictures, it's not going to ruin the actual ceremony and the act of getting married.
I completely agree with you. And I remember there was one couple I looked after where the bride arrived into me probably about a month before the wedding, and she found out that her bridesmaid was 3 months pregnant. And I was actually petrified. She had a full out meltdown and like throwing her wedding folder across the room and everything. Like, so there's just perspectives can sometimes get lost. So that is, I think, the main misconception is that you get absorbed in this world, you think it's the only thing that's ever going to happen, and all this focuses on this one big day, and you don't lift up and go, do you know what, there's a bigger world going on outside of this day, you know.
And what was that bride angry about? That she'd have to organise a needs bridesmaid dress, or that somebody had the audacity to have a life outside her wedding?
I think it was a mix of all, and then she was very conscious of her pictures. Now, I was recently 8 months pregnant, and I was a groom's lady for a friend, and I looked like a barrel in the photos. Never once did they say a thing. They were just so chilled out and laid back about it, you know. So there's different. I think it just depends. I think the more people actually allow it and less and feed into it, the bigger the problem becomes. And if you are a good friend, you should be able to turn around to that person and say, can you calm down? This is, you know, it's going to pass. It's one day. We'll sort it out. Relax.
And sure, if they don't, Sarah, we'll have stories like this to tell for years to come once you have a little bit of distance from the trauma. Sarah Kennedy of Irish Wedding Blog, thanks so much for joining us.